Let us open in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Lord, I pray that you will speak through me. Lord, that you will, your Holy Spirit will teach us. Lord, teach me today. Lord, that your Holy Spirit will convict if we need convicting, encourage us if we need to be encouraged, Lord. Lord, I pray everything I say and do will glorify you. In your name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to be in Galatians chapter 6. We'll be reading verses 6 through 10. That's a familiar passage for, at least one of the verses is a familiar passage there. So while you're turning there, open. I read a book when I was in high school called Eyes of the Dragon. And in this story, there's a king, and he has this wicked advisor. No one really knows he's wicked. And the advisor knows he will never be king himself. But he wants to rule anyway. And so he decides that the best way for him to be in control is to manipulate the king's young son, who is next in line to be king. And so as the kid, he's 2, he's 3, he's 4, the wicked advisor just, little white lie here, gets him to lie here, gets him to steal a little bit. And over time, as the kid grows up, he becomes a prince. By the time he comes king, the advisor has so corrupted that man that he's in control. He listens to this evil advisor. And he makes a comment in there that every time he gets him to lie, every time he gets him to steal, every time he gets him to get angry, he says, "I'm just putting a little more poison in the well." He says, and he's talking to one of his friends. He says, "You'll never notice it the first time. He won't notice it the second time. But after years, that poison will corrupt that well." You know, the same thing is true spiritually, both in a good way and a bad way. That if we continually do things that are wrong and continue to do, we might not see the results. You can speed, you can lie at work, you can cheat on your taxes. Most likely, at least the first time, you're not going to get caught. But as that stuff, it steamrolls, it comes together, eventually, as the scripture says in Galatians chapter 6, you reap what you sow. But on the other hand, if you're good, if I teach my kid the scripture, teach her to memorize it, years later, that's going to have positive results in her life. Let's begin reading in verse 6 of Galatians chapter 6. It says, "Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not, or do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." The first thing we need to realize today is really to believe the principle. Of everything in the Christian life, I believe it all comes down to belief. When God told Moses to go before Pharaoh, it's, "Moses, do you believe God? Do you believe that God will help you and sustain you through that?" When God tells Joshua to cross the Jordan River, it's not so much the doing, it's, are we going to believe God and actually step foot in the river, believing that God's going to get us, going to part the water? When he marches around Jericho 7 times, it's not really the marching, it's, are we going to believe God to do what he told us? And the same thing is true in our own life. When God tells us to tithe, when God tells us to be honest at all times, when God tells us not to steal, are we going to believe God that when he says those things, he has a good reason for it, or are we going to do things our own way and try to manipulate that? The very first 3 words in verse 7, 4 words in the English, 3 in the Greek, says, "Do not be deceived." That is the key to the entire passage. Who's trying to deceive us? And this passage really could be translated, "Do not be self-deceived. Do not allow yourself to be deceived." Paul is saying, don't trick yourself into thinking, and it goes on. I work with a UNC fan, just graduated from UNC, a degree in pharmacy. I don't know if you like UNC, you have a great basketball team. Probably going to win the national title. You do not have a great football team. But every week, whether UNC wins, whether their football team wins, or whether they lose, every week he tells me how great their football team is. That when they get blown out by Virginia Tech, that, you know, it was the weather, a guy wasn't feeling well. He has really, in reality, tricked himself into thinking that they have a great football team. Now, I'm a Cubs fan, and so I understand that every year I think the Cubs have a chance at the World Series. It's not based on fact or reality or history. I've just tricked myself. I really have deceived myself into thinking that, you know, the Cubs actually will ever win a World Series again. And I've done that to myself. Paul gives that same warning, don't trick yourself. Don't allow yourself to be deceived. And it says, God is not mocked. It is easy to trick yourself on that because we don't really see the results of our sin right away, typically. You can, if you cheat on your taxes, it'll be months before the IRS ever gets involved. In our own personal life, the state government thinks that we didn't file our tax return 5 years ago. We did, and you know, that'll all get cleared up. But it could take up to 5 years before, had we cheated on my taxes, 5 years before that ever would catch up to me. And so it's very easy to trick yourself into thinking, and that's not really true. I can cheat, I can steal, I can do all those things without consequence. But it's not true. The next part of the verse, God is not mocked. It has the word mock there, really has like the point your nose, thumb your nose at someone, that you're so arrogant that you can do whatever you want. That's what God is saying. He says, you're not going to be arrogant against God to believe that you can do whatever you want. So it says, don't trick yourself. God is not going to be mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. We understand that. North Carolina makes a lot of money on agriculture, which is why the rain is so vital to us. That, you know, when we plant the wheat, we plant the watermelon, that's exactly what we're going to get at the end, hopefully, with the rain. It takes months for a seed. When I grew up in Florida, we had a tangerine tree that was a baby when I was born 27 years ago. And it took 15 years before that tree really started to produce fruit. But my mom was faithful and watered it as she was supposed to, and, you know, fertilized it and did everything she had to. But it took years and years for any of that to bear fruit. Year after year, it'd be, you know, one tangerine or none, and then just 1 year, it was just orange. It produced so much fruit. But we knew that to begin with. My mother knew eventually we are going to get exactly what we put into this. Verse 8 where it says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's the principle that God wants us to believe, that everything we do, we're either sowing to the Spirit or we're sowing to the flesh. When we decide to read our Bible, when we decide to pray, when we witness, we are sowing to the Spirit. When I decide to disobey God, when I decide to do things my own way, I'm sowing to the flesh. And God is saying, you will reap exactly what you sow. Don't trick yourself into thinking that you can somehow get out of this principle. But notice it says, sows to his flesh. I've always heard the analogy, you know, if you sow wheat, you get wheat. You put apples in, you get apples. And that's true. But notice it says, to his flesh. I used to work at Harris Teeter. Put myself through a seminary, actually, working there. And every year they have brown sugar strawberries. I don't know if you've had these things. They're phenomenal. They plant strawberries. And what they do is every day that they water them, they put brown sugar in the water. And so the brown sugar soaks into the soil. It soaks into the strawberry. And so when you taste that strawberry, you get, it's as sweet as candy, because that's what they soak the field in it. That's what it's saying here, is sow to the flesh, sow in the flesh. If you sow in a field that's unfertilized, or let's say you put salt water, let's say Harris Teeter, so we're going to have salt water strawberries. If you planted your strawberry seeds into the salt water, you're going to be very disappointed with the result. You take those exact same seeds and you throw them into brown sugar, and you get a very different result. That's what Paul is saying here, God is saying through Paul, is that we all have time, we all have money, we all have material possessions, and we can decide to sow those either to the flesh. We can buy the new big screen TV and go into debt and do all that. We have that ability in this country. Or we can take that and we can give some of that to God, or all of it, however the Lord leads there. But you have a certain amount of resources. Where are you going to sow those? If you sow those in the flesh, into yourself, you're going to reap, as it says, corruption. The word there is really rotten food is where it comes from. That this would be the word they would use for rotten food. If you sow into the salt water, you're going to get exactly that. Or you can take your possessions, your time, your money, your knowledge, the things you have, your job, and you can use those things for God's glory. You can tithe to the church. You can witness to your neighbor. You can help someone who needs groceries. All those things. And if we sow those, if we give those things to God, the Bible says, he who sows in the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. We can either reap corruption, or we can reap the blessings of God. That's the principle, is that you can't, there's no third option. You can't just hold on to it. Like, I won't do either. I won't sow to the Spirit. I won't sow. You're doing one or the other every day. You're either using your time and your possessions for God, or you're not. So that's the principle, is that you will reap exactly what you sow. But secondly, not only have to believe that that's true and convince yourself, despite what you see, that that principle is true, you also have to really, I think, be faithful to the principle. Read verse 9. It says, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I turn on ESPN sometimes, and they have these strongman contests. And I wonder how many years of dedication it takes to be able to, you know, lift a car all by yourself. But, you know, you don't get that the first time in the gym. The first time you walk into the gym, the next day it hurts, you ache all over, and you wonder, what's the point? You didn't lose 20 pounds. All I did was hurt. You have to go to the gym daily. You have to work out, you know, unfortunately, all the time. If you want to lose weight and be healthy, you can't just go to the gym once. If you go once and quit, you've profited nothing. You have to go. You have to keep going. You have to be dedicated to that. A football team has to practice and practice. And the result of one practice might not be anything. But that practice on top of another practice, on top of another, on top of another, football team can get pretty good. When you invest in your 401k, you know, the first $100 you put in means very little. But as that goes in every week or every month, that starts to build and grow. And if all you did was put the first $100 in and said, well, all right, I invested, I think I'm going to go retire now, you're not going to have it. If a farmer decided to sow seed, sprinkle it with water, and quit, he would have nothing at the end of it. Which is why it says, let us not grow weary while doing good. It can take years before you see the results. My father, who was here last week, when my mother married him, for years prayed for his soul. It took years. Every day she would pray that my father would come to Christ. And it took 3 years from the time that she started praying for him to the time he actually gave his heart to Christ. I'll never know when I sit down and teach my kid a Bible story, I won't know for years that that's had an effect on her. We have the story of Moses in the book of Exodus, whose mom had Moses up to 3 years old. And in those 3 years, taught him the Bible, taught him what they had of the Bible, taught him about God's faithfulness. Doesn't see the results of that till 80 years later when he's standing before Pharaoh, telling him, let my people go. The Bible says in Hebrews that Moses turned down Pharaoh and chose the God that his mom taught him about. While he was a toddler, the things that his mom had taught him a toddler, 80 years later when he's standing before the king, are bearing the fruit. And so you're not going to see the fruit right away, whether good or bad. I remember I had a friend in Florida. I went to a youth group with him about 4 years ago. You know, he was faithful, came almost every week. 3 years ago, he was sentenced to death for committing a double murder. He didn't just start right there. He started gambling, got into a crowd that did drugs, started doing drugs. Eventually, that led him to do other things. To eventually, he got to the point where he murdered two people. He didn't start as a murderer. He started as someone, you know, just going to do drugs, going to do things I shouldn't do, hang out with people I shouldn't hang out with. And that, he reaped the results of that. And he'll never have another free day in his life. And it starts small. So when we do good or when we do good bad, the Bible says, do not trick yourself. You will reap the results of those actions. And finally it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are out of the household of faith. So not only do we have to believe God's word, that we will reap what we sow, not only do we have to be faithful to that, by doing day in and day out the things that God would have us to do. But lastly, we need to make opportunities. The word there, opportunity, is not so much happens by chance as it is an appointment. The same word is actually translated appointment other places, where it's saying go out of your way to make opportunities. It's not let me sit around, watch TV, and then if God should happen to drop something on my lap, I'll do it. Quite the opposite. It's saying go look for opportunities. Look, make appointments. If you know people have needs, go make yourself available to them. That's opportunities, more of an appointment. As you make appointments to do good, let us do good to all, especially to those who have the household of faith. The city of Galatia, where this was written to originally, had a lot of poor people. It was a very split class, which Roman society was in general, where you had rich people and you had poor people, and not a whole lot of room in between. And really, he's encouraging. I can see that there wasn't like a middle class. Here in this church, we're all probably, maybe I don't know our condition, but in general, we're making it day to day. We're getting through. That's not the case with everyone. I know people. I work in a pretty poor area. And I see people all the time who need things. Problem is, I don't want to go make myself available to them, and that's my fault. I think we all see needs around us. I know our church needs workers for children, for nursery. There's opportunities all around us. We need to make the most of them. And it might not seem a lot watching a baby for 1 hour a day. But over in Matthew chapter 5, God talks about how whenever He's talking to the righteous. He says, when I was in prison, you visited me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. And the righteous respond, when were you in prison? When did we see you hungry? And when naked did we clothe you? And he says, in so much you have done it unto the least of mine, you have done it unto me. So when we watch that baby in the nursery, or we help our neighbor buy groceries, the Bible is very clear. We are buying groceries for God. That we are watching Jesus Christ. We are watching that baby for Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will reward us. So in closing, we need to believe the principle. Again, it all comes down to that. If you don't believe, you're going to reap what you sow. Everything else I've said is useless. Two, we've got to be faithful, realizing we're not going to see it today. We're not going to see it tomorrow. But we will reap what we sow. And finally, we need to seek opportunities to go out of our way to show God's love to others. If you haven't memorized at least verse 7, it's a very good verse to memorize. It has saved me from sin on more than one occasion. Just thinking, am I sowing to the flesh or am I reaping rewards when I do this? So maybe that's what you need to do today. Maybe the word of the Lord for you today is you need to really untrick yourself. Believe this. Memorize this verse. Maybe God has already impressed upon you where you need to serve and you're not. The word of the Lord to you today would be to get involved. And maybe the word of the Lord today is, some of you maybe be faithful. Maybe you have a lost family member you've been praying for years and years. You know, maybe you've been given to the church and it's hard because you don't really have the money to do it. The word of the Lord today is be faithful. That God will, you will see the bounty on that. To keep being faithful, to keep believing God. And we will reap the results if we sow to the Spirit, and we will reap so many blessings from God. Let's pray.